السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصلاة عماد الدين، وكما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى has given us a set of rules, a set of commands. Do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this. And that set of commands are very varied. In fact, there is no time in a person's day, there is no stage in a person's life, there is no place where he is in, where there isn't a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directed to him. If he is in the home, then at that time certain commands of Allah ta'ala will apply to him. If he is in the masjid, at that time certain commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will apply to him. And even when he is between the home and the masjid, he is walking from the home to the masjid, he is walking back, at that time certain commands will apply to him. He is with his parents, certain commands will apply to him. He is with his work colleagues, certain commands will apply to him. He is sitting on the bus and there is someone sitting next to him, certain commands will apply to him. He is alone, again certain commands will apply to him. He is a teenager, certain commands will apply to him. He is a married man, certain commands will apply to him. He is elderly, certain commands will apply to him. There is no part of our life, there is no part of our day where a person can have this mentality that there is nothing for me to think about in terms of deen. So in effect, deen forms a part of everything, is in every part of our life. And it is one of the tricks and one of the plots of shaitan that when a person, he tries to become religious, when a person, he wants to become practicing, and he is every person when he wants to become practicing, then his goal is with practicing that I want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I want to reach Jannah. That is every person's goal. And every person also understands that to do that I need to become fully obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I am partially obedient, partially disobedient, I am still in danger. If you are given if you land a new job, you are successful in the interview process, then you have a job specification. This is what you must do. These are the tasks you must carry out. And every person knows that these are your expectations. You must be here at this time, you must leave at this time, this is what you must do. And every person understands that if I want to ensure I am successful, if I want to ensure that I keep my job, I must fulfill the full list. I fulfill 50% of the list, and leave 50% out, I am in danger. And if I fulfill 90% and I leave 10% out, still I am in danger that I may be reprimanded. That this one task, which was also part of your
which was also on your list. Why isn't it done? It may stop my progress. It may stop me getting a promotion. If the task is important, it may even, because of that, a meeting will be called with the manager that you are not fulfilling your role. Your role is you are under scrutiny. So in the same way, in deen, it is necessary that we also understand, number one, that every part of deen must be in our life. Every compulsory part of deen. Again, if we go to the example, in every job role, there are certain expectations which are deemed compulsory. These tasks must be fulfilled every single day. You must be in at this time. Minimum you need to be here until this time. This is how you need to deal with your colleagues. And then other than that, there are certain things which are commendable, certain things which are recommended. They're not compulsory. If a person doesn't do them, then he won't be taken to task by anyone in the workplace, by his manager, that why haven't you done this? If his job timings are until 5 o'clock, you must be here. So until 5 o'clock, to be there will be deemed compulsory. If he doesn't remain till 5 o'clock, he goes home at 4 o'clock. Then he will be taken to task. If it happens once, he may be let off. Happens it's 2-3 times, he will be taken to task. Here there will be consequences. But staying till 6 o'clock for some further work is not compulsory. But there is no doubt it is recommended. It is commendable. So if a person goes home every single day at 5 o'clock, no one will lift a finger against him. But if a person wants to progress quicker, if he wants that, if he has his eye on that promotion, and if he thinks that I don't want to stay here, I want to get promoted, I want to become the next manager, then he will go out of his way and do all of these things that are not deemed compulsory, but they are commendable. He will be in an hour late. He will be doing overtime, whether he is asked to, whether he isn't asked to. And when he does all of this, then he will catch the eye of the managers as well, that this person, he is committed. And the next time they think that there is a role to be fulfilled, a higher paid role, then people's thought will go to him that he is someone who is fit to be a part of that role. He will move the company forward. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us certain commands. Some of them are compulsory and some of them are recommended, they are commendable, they are overtime. Everything that is followed is compulsory. Everything that is wajib is compulsory. Staying away from everything that is haram is compulsory. And staying away from everything that is makruh tahrim is compulsory. There are the do's and there are the don'ts. After that, you have things which are sunnah. You have things which are mustahab. You have things which are nafal. Doing them is commendable. You don't need them to enter Jannah. But you do them, you will reach Jannah quicker, and your stages in Jannah will be elevated much quicker as well. And on the other side, haram and makruh tahrimi, you must stay away from. Makruh tanzihi is, you don't have to stay away from it. If you don't stay away from it, you will still be on the path to Jannah, but you stay away from it, your ranks in Jannah will be further increased. So one of Shaitan's ploys when he sees that this person, he wants to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he wants to become practicing, he wants to reach Jannah. Then Shaitan tries to make sure that if he practices, he doesn't do so on every part of deen. If he practices, then he practices on one part of deen, he leaves the other part. He practices on salah, but he ignores the rights of the parents. He practices fasting, but he ignores the rights of one's neighbors. If he he's given his zakat, he let him give his zakat, but he doesn't make him worry about the fact that he has ghibah in his life. Shaitan tries to make him pick and choose. And Shaitan is a very knowledgeable person. Shaitan is a very knowledgeable person. He must be, because he has been alive since the time of Adam alayhi salam. So a person who is of this age, he will be very knowledgeable and very experienced. So he knows exactly how much of deen to let this person practice upon and how much of deen to keep away from him. And he does it in such a manner that we stay happy as well, because we think we are practicing. When we look at our life, we think, I am performing all the 5 times for salah, alhamdulillah. I am reading the Quran every day as well, I am doing this as well, I am doing that as well. So we look at that side, and at the same time Shaitan, he has that list of things which we are not doing. And he looks at it and he becomes very happy that on the day of judgment this person is in trouble. Someone asked a wise person that what is the most severe, the most dangerous illness? So this wise man, he replied that illness in which the ill person doesn't know he is ill. That illness is the most dangerous, when the ill person doesn't know he is ill. Because a person has a severe illness, but he knows he is ill, then he goes about trying to treat it. But a person has an illness, but he doesn't realize he is ill. Sometimes he doesn't realize that he's ill because the illness is just building inside. Like it happens with cancer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep all of us with health and afiyah. When cancer enters a person's body, then for a lengthy period of time it builds inside and a person doesn't even feel anything. So when a person doesn't know he is ill, he doesn't worry about treatment. And if a person doesn't worry about treatment, then he can never get better. So in the same way, Shaitan, he does this. He tries to make us think that I am practicing, that I'm not, from the point of view of the hereafter, I'm not ill. I'm perfectly well. And because we have this mentality, so we don't worry about what is not in my life. And when the eyes close, then the eyes will open. When the eyes close, when a person goes into the grave, then the eyes will open. And a person will realize that there was so much of deen. I thought I was 100% practicing, I wasn't even 30% practicing. My sheikh and teacher, Hazrat Maulana Salim Dorat Sahib Hafizahullah, he mentioned once that he went to Makkah Mukarramah. He went to Makkah Mukarramah. I am giving you an example of how Shaitan, how easily he fools us sometimes. Because we're not alert, we're not aware. We just focus on certain things. We come for Maghrib Salah. We stay between Maghrib and Isha, we go home. So in this trip, we only focus on the fact that Alhamdulillah, I came for Maghrib Salah. Alhamdulillah, after that, I sat in a talk as well, I recited the Quran as well. Alhamdulillah, after that, I performed the Isha Salah and then I went home. But on the way to the masjid, we misused our gift, the thought doesn't even enter our mind that I did something wrong on the way. In the masjid, we did someone's ghibah, we listened to someone's ghibah, the thought doesn't even enter our mind. So Shaitan fools us like this. So I was saying that my teacher and Shaykh Hazim Allah Salim said, once he went to Makkah Mukarramah for Umrah, and one of his associates there met him. He asked him for some advice. So Hazrat told him that to make a habit of self-assessment, muhasabah. This is one of the tools to avoid this trick of Shaitan. Muhasabah, self-assessment. A person looks for what's wrong in his life. A person looks through his life what is wrong. Actively checks, ideally on a daily basis. At the end of the day, he looks through his day, that where did I go wrong? Alhamdulillah, I performed my salah, alhamdulillah. But on the way to work, did I misuse my guest? I was in the workplace, did I do anything wrong there? So this is one, to check in oneself, self-assessment. This is one way of catching this ploy of Shaitan. So Hazrat gave him this advice, that make a habit of assessing yourself. And it doesn't take long. A person, when he starts it, may take a long, but eventually a person will have a habit that in 5-10 minutes, he will be able to go through his entire day. So this person, after a few days, he came, met Hazrat Maulana Salim Sahib again, and he thanked him, and he said that, through your advice, I realized that in my life, I have an evil habit of lying for no reason. Now, lying is a major sin. And who would think that someone can carry out a major sin for no reason, for no benefit? One is that usually a person sins because there is some benefit in it. He misses the Fajr Salah because there is a benefit that he can relax. He misuses his gain because there is a benefit that he can gain some enjoyment, some pleasure. But a person disobeys Allah Ta'ala and there is no benefit. So he is not gaining anything in this world and he is losing his hereafter as well. Why on earth would a person do that? But this person said that when I did muhasabah, I checked myself, then I realized that I have a habit of lying for no reason. Sometimes I am talking to someone, I mention an incident and I add 2-3 points from my own side. No benefit. So a person, he needs to check himself like this. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, he's addressing the believers. He's addressing you and I. He says, Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Enter Islam kaffa completely. Enter Islam completely. Don't enter part of Islam and leave another part of Islam. And then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Don't follow the footsteps of shaitan. Don't follow the footsteps of shaitan. What does that mean? One meaning of وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ, don't follow the footsteps of shaitan, means don't follow the path shaitan is showing you. He is leading you on. Which is that certain things I do and certain things I leave. And the other meaning of وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ, the other possible meaning of this is that don't follow the path that shaitan took himself and because of that he destroyed himself. Shaitan also destroyed himself by picking and choosing indeed. Shaitan was a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a very ardent worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some mufassirin have said that there was not a place in the heavens where he hadn't done sajda. But he had this part of deen in his life. But when another part of deen presented itself to him, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the command that out of respect, out of reverence for Adam alayhi salam and his status, do sajda in front of him. This part of deen he decided to ignore. So shaitan destroyed himself by picking and choosing in deen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that don't follow the footsteps of shaitan. Don't pick and choose indeed because you will be destroyed just like he was destroyed. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ, he is your clear enemy. So this is one thing we need to understand. Look, we live in a society where it is an unfortunate reality that there are not many people who have a worry of deen. There are not many people who have a worry of deen. But because of this, those of us who have some worry of deen, when we start practicing a little bit, then it seems like a lot to us. If you and I were alive in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we would not fall under enemy's conception regarding our condition of deen. Why? Because everyone there was fully practicing. In our time, majority of people don't perform the 5 times for salah. All 5 of them. So if we start performing even 3-4 salah, 2-3 salah, we think I am doing a lot, mashallah. I am the only person in my family who is performing salah. In this house, there is only one person on the musalla. But if that same person was in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where not only is everyone performing the 5 times first salah, they are doing it with jama'ah and other than that, they are performing the tahajjud salah and this nafal salah and that nafal salah, then straight away he would realize how much water he is in. So, yes, if a person, despite being in a family that is not practicing, despite being in an environment that is not practicing, he is practicing to some degree or other, that is a very good sign. Allah Ta'ala has given him tawfiq. But at the same time, he shouldn't look at their condition and think, because of their condition, think to himself, I am doing a lot. The criteria for entry into Jannah is not, you must be better than everyone around you. The criteria for Jannah is that you must practice this, these are the commands you must do, and this is what you must stay away from. And when that is the case, then whenever we look at our deeni condition, we should not compare it in light of others around us, others in our family. We should compare it in light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's criteria. And for that, we need to learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's criteria as well first. We need to know. In Urdu, they have a saying that I will translate for you. They say that if there is a group of blind people, then if there is someone who is cross-eyed or who is one-eyed, so he can see a little bit, then he thinks a lot of himself. Everyone knows that a person who is cross-eyed or who is one-eyed, who has some deficiency, he's deficient. He's not someone who is complete, he's deficient. But if he is only amongst blind people, then he will think, I am a lot. So, let us understand this. And thereafter, the first thing we must do is we must start checking ourselves. We must start checking ourselves. That what, especially those things which have become a habit in our life. I'm not doing anything wrong, am I? On a daily basis. And this is something which if you do it, then every so often something will crop up. Every so often you will see that this habit is wrong in my life. In fact, see, these are all realities which we need to talk amongst ourselves. Sometimes there are certain sins which when they are in someone else's life, we can see them. But when they are in our own life, shaitan doesn't allow us to see them. If a person has a lot of pride, he has an ego, it's a major sin. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that person who has an atom's weight of pride in his heart will not enter Jannah. He thinks low of other people, he thinks a lot of himself. So if we see someone who is behaving like this, someone who is behaving in an egotistic manner, he belittles other people, straight away we will be able to see it. But if we are like this, very often we will not even realize. And to the extent that if someone tells us that if someone who is a well-wisher, someone who tells us something that is wrong in our deen, someone who corrects us in some matter of deen, it does a very great favor upon us. Whenever someone tells you something, that you know, brother, in your salah you have this error, brother, your trousers are below your ankles, brother, you did this wrong. Anyone or someone in our family says it, then he is not your enemy, he is your best friend. Because that person, he is telling you something which will take you closer to Jannah. So someone who tells you something which takes you closer to Jannah, are they helping you or are they harming you? A very great alim and saint of the past, Qadi Siddiq Bandwi rahmatullah alayhi, he used to say that if you have two doors in your house, two entrances, the front door and the back door, the front door and the side door, and you only ever use the front door, you don't ever use the back door. So you see the front wall of the house all the time, but you don't see the back wall of the house all the time. And one day one of your neighbors comes to you and he says that, you know, I was in my back garden and I noticed that in your back wall there is a crack developed. There is some structural harm there. Get it checked out. Then every single person, what will you say? It's a jazakallah. Thank you so much. You may have saved me from so much harm. If someone points out something wrong in our worldly matters, which we were unable to see, we all understand that he has done a favor upon us. When that is the case, if someone points out something that is wrong in our deeni condition, he has done an even greater favor upon us. He has done an even greater favor upon us. Unfortunately, in this regard, there are two ills in society. The first ill is that we're not ready to listen to anyone correcting us. We're not ready to listen to anyone mentioning our mistake. And unfortunately, some of us are to the extent that even if our mistake is mentioned from the minbar, even if someone The reality is, if someone mentioned our mistake to us in a harsh manner, they said, brother, don't you know how to perform salah? You don't even stand properly in salah. If someone was to do it, they shouldn't do that. But if someone was to do that, even then, we should feel that, okay, he's treating me harshly, but it's beneficial for my hereafter, it's beneficial for my Jannah, so alhamdulillah, it's still a good thing. It's still a good thing. But our condition is that if someone says in a good manner as well, then still we get offended, we get upset. Why is he telling me? None of your business. If you don't say it, then in our mind that is also none of your business. It's his business to help you get to Jannah because he has love for you, he has feeling for you, he has worry for you. A very great saint of the past, Azim Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi, he in his latter days his eyesight weakened. So his khadim, his assistant, Mawlana Yahya Sahib, the father of Shaykh al Hadith, Mawlana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullahi, he was the attendee of Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi. So he would read his letters aloud to him. He would read his letters. So Mawlana Yahya Sahib, a letter would come, he would read it aloud to Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi. His eyesight was weak. Now, in that time, because Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi, he was a very outspoken person. People who were involved in wrong practices, in bid'at, in innovations, he would speak against them. And because of that, these people, they would get offended. So, in retaliation, sometimes they would send letters full of insults to Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullahi, with no other purpose other than to insult him. So Mawlana Yahya Sahib Rahmatullah, he was charged with reading the letters to his Sheikh Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi. So this letter came. He read it. It was from one of these types of people. It was full of insults. The next day a few more came. He read them as well. After a few days he thought to himself that there is no point reading these letters. Then they're just full of insults, full of swears, no information, no other purpose. And for no reason I am giving Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi inconvenience. You know, his heart probably feels hurt listening to all these insults. So he used to put these letters to one side and he no longer bothered to read them aloud. After a few days, Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah said to him that it seems like our friends have stopped remembering us. It seems like our friends have stopped remembering us. Meaning that those letters are full of insults, they're not coming anymore. So Mawlana Yahya Sahib, he said that they are coming. They are coming. But they're full of insults. They hurt your heart. They hurt my heart. So there is no point reading them. So Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullahi, he told him that no, carry on reading them. Because whenever you read them, they're full of insults that Mawlana Rashid Ahmad is like this. Rashid Ahmad has this ill habit. Whenever you read them, I use it as a mirror and I check myself. That they are saying this insult about me, is it true or not? They are saying this insult about me, is it true or not? Because an enemy, when he says insults, then 9 might be false, 1 might be true. So these people, even when someone would insult them, they would think it's an opportunity to check myself. Am I actually worthy of that illness? Do I have that wrong habit within me? And our condition is when someone out of love for us, out of worry for us, they tell us some error of ours, then we feel offended as well. So that is one ill that is in our society, that we shouldn't feel offended if someone tells us something about our deen. The other unfortunate ill which is in our society is that we never bother telling someone when we see something wrong in their deen condition. If we see something wrong in their worldly condition, we tell them. If we are going outside the masjid and we see someone's car parked and we see that, you know what, the tire has a puncture, then we will tell the person, or we'll tell someone that whose car is, informed him. But that very same person, if we see him doing ghibah, and we realize, or if we see that in his salah, you know what, he is not performing, he has missed something important out, then very rare is that person who goes and tells him. That means that the reason for that is we have the importance of this world in our hearts. So when someone has a worldly problem, we inform them. But we don't have the importance of the hereafter in our hearts. If we did, we would inform them when we see this ill that is in the life. So I was saying that the message today is, let us make sure that we do our best to become fully practicing. And for that, one thing we can do is start checking ourselves. The other thing we can do is we can, if someone else corrects us, then accept it. In fact, tell other people. Tell people who are close to you that if you see anything wrong in my deen condition, in my deen, please inform me. And with that, we should gain more knowledge. If we gain more knowledge, then we will understand the criteria to enter Jannah more. So then we will be able to check that, am I doing this? Sometimes we don't practice, we're not doing something or we're doing something wrong because we don't have knowledge of it. And if a person is doing something, for example, a person is performing, I will give a very simple example. I will end on this. A very simple example. A person is performing salah. And in salah, when a person is performing salah on his own, then tilawah of the Quran is compulsory. Tilawah of the Quran is compulsory. What does tilawah of the Quran is compulsory mean? Tilawah of the Quran is compulsory means that number one, your lips must be moving. Number one, your lips must be moving. And number two, you must, according to the majority of the fuqa, you must be able to hear yourself at least. So I am just saying, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So what do I need to? I need to move my lips. I need to say with enough audibility that I can hear myself. If I don't perform tilawah in this manner, then I'm not performing tilawah. And tilawah in salah is fard. But there are so many people, because they don't have knowledge of this, or they're not aware, in salah they're standing like this. And they think they're reading, but they're reading in the mind. Like when you read a newspaper, your lips don't move. You read it in your mind. So there are so many people, when they perform salah, they have the same habit. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. No lips are moving. You can see no lips are moving. No, they don't hear themselves. It's just being read in the mind. The salah is not even done. So sometimes the lack of knowledge is also the reason that shaitan stops us from practicing upon certain things. So let us make this a target that we try our best to become fully practicing. And number two, whether we make this a target for ourselves and we help our other Muslim brothers, our friends, our relatives to do this as well. Wherever we see something wrong in their life, we correct it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon this. Inshallah, this our Tuesday talks will carry on, continue every week, usually after the Maghrib Salah in summer. Everyone is requested to participate. Ameen wa khiru da'wan. Alhamdulillah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.